From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This, from Boston, where colleges and universities and their students are still reeling from the ongoing college admissions scandal known as Operation Varsity Blues. The head of the federal team investigating the scandal, Eric Rosen, recently left his post for the private sector. He spoke with GBH's higher education reporter and editor Kirk Carapeza about the case. Kirk joins me now to talk about that conversation. Hey, Kirk.
Hey, Arun.
Hey, so start by reminding us about Operation Varsity Blues and the scale of it, because there's never been anything like this, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is nothing like we've ever seen. When I talk about this case, I often tell people about the email that we got from the U.S. Attorney's Office. It came into GBH and it announced a press conference where prosecutors would unveil a, quote, massive college admissions scandal. And it didn't say much else beyond that. And I remember my editor, Ken Cooper, and I were debating whether we should even go to cover this press conference. You know, most of these run-of-the-mill admissions cases deal with international students who are cheating on the TOEFL exam, you know, the college entrance exam. But we decided to go, and 2 years ago this month, the government charged dozens of wealthy American parents, including actresses Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman, with paying a total of $25 million in bribes to get their kids into selective colleges by having them either pose as athletes or have ringers take the SAT for them or both.
So take us back to the beginning. How did Rosen and his team get tipped off to this operation?
Well, he admits they kind of stumbled upon it. Back in 2018, they were working on a rather routine case of securities fraud when a suspect in Los Angeles told them he was paying money to the Yale soccer coach in exchange for recruiting his daughter as an athlete.
And that was really the first time I think anybody had ever heard that that was sort of quote-unquote a thing, or that was what people do.
Rosen's team then recorded conversations between that suspect and the Yale coach inside a room at a downtown hotel in Boston.
Like most investigations, it begins typically when you sort of crack open a seam there, it exposes a lot more. And here it obviously exposed a lot more than we were really expecting right off the bat.
Of course, Rosen's team had cracked open a sprawling college admission scandal that the FBI would call Operation Varsity Blues.
Now, Rosen's background in law seems to have set him up perfectly to investigate this case. Mm-hmm. Talk about that and tell us how that background influenced this investigation.
Right. Rosen is an interesting character. He's extremely modest. He's a 42-year-old with three kids in the Boston public schools. He was born and raised in Belmont. Went to Belmont High, a public school. Then he went on to Harvard and Columbia Law School. And eventually he joined the U.S. Attorney's Office in Pittsburgh. And that's where he was focusing on large-scale narcotics traffickers. And he told me that work really prepared him for Varsity Blues.
You're familiar with the wiretap process, what you need for a wiretap, how the wiretap is going to help your case, and the fact that recordings are so important sometimes in developing evidence of criminal activity.
Then in 2015, during the Obama administration, Rosen was reassigned to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Boston. And when we met up last week, I asked him whether he thought Rick Singer, the mastermind behind this scandal, kind of operated like a drug lord, with the drug in this case being college admissions. You know, Arun, many wealthy Americans, you could say, are addicted to the same, you know, 25 or 30 name brand institutions that they can then plaster on the back of their SUVs. And when I asked him about that, Rosen said he wouldn't go that far, but he did say Singer offered a, quote, elixir that people really wanted.
This case was, it was just huge. It was splashed all over magazines and tabloids. The media were on it incessantly. In talking with Rosen, do you think that's because the celebrity side of this, or it was big in other ways, right?
Yeah, I mean, I remember sitting in the courtroom in those early days, and it was pretty surreal. You know, I was jammed in there, you know, GBH public, you know, media reporter between the Wall Street Journal and TMZ reporters. It was kind of a circus. And I remember thinking, this is exactly what happens when America's obsession with college admissions and celebrity culture. I asked Rosen if he thought the case would have generated so much media coverage if the celebrities weren't involved.
It's hard to pinpoint one specific thing that drove the media coverage. I'm sure celebrity was one of them, but I think most of the comments were not focused on celebrity aspects of it, but really about the unfairness aspects of it.
Now, Arun, critics of the case and how it was handled like to point out that 2 years after the scheme was unveiled, not much has really changed in college admissions. Applications to selective colleges like Harvard are higher than ever, and legacy and athletic admissions still give the wealthy and the well-connected a legal edge through the back door rather than what Rick Singer promised would be the side door. But Rosen says he thinks the combination of the prison sentences, which so far have ranged from a day to 9 months, and also the intense scrutiny college admissions has received as a result of his team's investigation, will in the end be effective.
From a deterrence point of view, I don't see something like this happening again.
You don't?
I don't. I'd want to think that people participating in the college admissions system now going forward will have learned a lesson.
And we should note that this case is not over. Singer's sentencing on fraud, racketeering, and money laundering charges has not been scheduled yet in Boston, and prosecutors are recommending prison time at the low end of federal guidelines for his cooperation in the case.
This will not be the last time we're talking about Varsity Blues.
No, for better or worse.
Kirk, this is great. Thank you for this.
Thank you, Arun.
That's GBH's higher education reporter and editor, Kirk Carapeza. Before I go, I should tell you what else is up in Boston. Multiple communities in Cape Cod's Barnstable County are now in the state's high-risk red zone for COVID transmission. And this time around, more cases are being reported in children. Falmouth pediatrician Dr. Greg Parkinson says children generally show milder symptoms of COVID that are easily confused with the common cold and other less worrisome infections.
Many times we say, you know, any other year this would look like a regular cold or other virus, but this year we have to prove that it's not COVID first, and then if it's not, then we can call it another virus.
Parkinson says local towns experiencing spikes in coronavirus infection may have to rethink plans to reopen schools. Meanwhile, down on the South Shore, the fallout continues after the Duxbury High School football team was found to be using words like Auschwitz and Hitler to call plays during a March game. At a recent town meeting, several residents said anti-Semitism is a long-standing issue in the town. Among them was Karen Wong, who told the board this was not an isolated incident.
In the last week plus, I have fielded an unbelievable number of phone calls, emails, text messages from people in the Jewish community who are hurting.
The Duxbury High football coach has been fired, and football games are canceled all this week while the team attends a workshop on the Holocaust. And finally, the Cambridge Police Department has moved on its own to ban the use of tear gas and related chemical weapons by its officers. The move comes amid national and local calls to ban police use of these chemicals. Cambridge City Councilor Jeevan Sabrina Wheeler says the next step is passing an ordinance to make the ban permanent.
You can't use chemical weapons, you can't use tear gas in war, and we want to make sure that you can't use tear gas according to city law against our own residents.
City councilors in Boston and Somerville are working to pass similar bans. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo in news, I'm Arun Roth. We'll talk tomorrow. Speaking of podcasts, here's a couple more you might enjoy. From the producers of GBH's Antiques Roadshow, Detours is a podcast about what happens to all those antiques after the cameras leave town. And Nova Now is a new biweekly podcast from the PBS science series Nova. Join host Alok Patel as he explores the science behind the biggest headlines of the day. Subscribe to both wherever you get your podcasts.